Don't you just love a good pie? Easy to find, full of, well, we're not really sure what they're full of, but they're damn good. So how do we know where to get a good pie when we're not in our own towns? Brothers Tony and Paul Clancy have done the work and travelled of thousands of kilometres to do just that, and they join us on the program this morning. Good morning, Tony and Paul.
Good morning, Trevor.
Yeah, good morning, Trevor.
Hey, firstly, can I ask you, Tony, why did you decide to have a pie fest across the nation?
Well, we just recognised this is a serious gap in Australian literature. There had not previously been written a comprehensive account of the great Australian pie.
Why is it a serious gap in Australian literature?
Well, because it's true. People do want to know where to go for a good pie. They love their pies. It's always a lively topic of conversation when people get together and they ask, where have you been? You say, I've been to so-and-so. Or, what's their bakery like? People do talk about pies and that's the feedback we've had. People have said, well, why hasn't someone done this before? Well, we've finally done it.
Paul, can you tell us how far you went?
Well, not in in kilometres, but it took us nearly a year, and we sort of went as far north as Port Douglas and Darwin and all through New South Wales, Victoria, South Australia, the capital, ACT, and Western Australia, so... Yeah, we covered all states, and Tasmania, we covered all states and territories, so yeah, it's quite a few kilometres.
So was this a quest simply to find the best pie, or were the two of you travelling around Australia?
No, it was simply to find the best pie, well, to find where the good pies are. No, we actually split the country up and did bits individually, so we weren't together. I don't think I could stand driving around 12 months with my brother.
Is that shared by both of you?
You'd have to ask Tony.
did you do research which towns you were going to go to first, or did you just simply drive and stop at bakeries?
Yeah, Tony probably asked that best.
Yeah, Tony?
Oh, there's a bit of both in that, Trevor. We looked at blogs. We Googled up the name of a town and pie, and a good example of this is that one of the best pies in Australia we found at Howlong in New South Wales, and how we found that was just putting in the words Albury and good pie or great pie, and a newsletter from one of the local primary schools popped up, and they were thanking the Howlong Bakery once more for a great batch of pies which they used for a fundraiser. And we end up visiting the Howlong Bakery as a result of that. There are also pie competitions, which give you an idea of what the better bakeries are. Although pie competitions that we found are not always a good guide to what could be a good bakery with a great Australian traditional meat pie.
Are there pie blogs?
Oh no, not as such. But you find them on, backpackers communicate about pies, and the subject just keeps coming up. But also, we did do a bit of the random stuff, and we saw might see a bakery, and we just drop in and see what their pies are like. But also, whenever you fill up with petrol, you ask the person in the servo, or is there a good bakery in town, or where is a good one, and we have contacts, having worked in the rural media. We know people who work in stock agencies and who might be the local bank person or whatever. So we've used that network as well for recommendations.
Paul, what is it about pies that you think makes people want to discuss them and to decide whether or not where to go to find good ones?
Well, I think it's underestimated the part that pies play now in the Australian sort of social fabric. I mean, it's been part of our eating habits since the first fleet arrived. And, today, in a sea of hamburgers and tacos and fried chicken, I mean, pie is while it's not uniquely Australian, it's very Australian. And, the football meat pies and kangaroos and Holden cars thing is really quite a strong vein running through Australian culture. So, yeah, I mean, I think everybody's got an opinion about a pie. And, when we set out, we thought there were only two types of pie, good and bloody good, but we found out that there's some dodgy ones out there as well.
In what way?
I think some bakeries, obviously the best pies are made with fresh ingredients and good meat and good filling, and I think there are some pies that don't have that. They have a lot of, extenders and fillers and flavourings and additives to them, which tend to make them not as good as the genuine article.
Can I just go a little bit back on the history, Tony? Can you tell us what the history of pies are in Australia? Did you look at that?
Yes, we did. And even beyond Australia, we came across someone who had actually, combining it with an overseas trip, went on a trail to find trace back where he could find typical Australian pies, and he had heard that there were certain parts of Wales where Australian-type pies were made, and found a place called Todriffle, where they make a typical Australian pie. And he said, if you closed your eyes, you'd swear you were back in Australia. He said, they're just, you know, so typically Australian, with that nice, crispy, flaky top, firm, short crust base, and beautiful minced meat filling with pepper and onion and a few spices, not overdone. But also within Australia, we're getting back to the times of the convict bakers. There was a place in Tasmania called Pieman River, and that's named after a baker who was incarcerated on Sierra Island, and he escaped, and he was picked up at the mouth of that river, which had at that time not been named, and they decided to name that river after him, which is Pieman River up in the northwest of Tassie. Yes, and it has a long history. Many of the convicts who came out were obviously selected on their ability to contribute to the colonies, and one of those contributions was being able to make bread and pies and such like.
Does that mean that originally when you took a look at convict pies, there were kangaroo pies, emu pies?
Well, there's a bit of truth in that too, Trevor. That's something else we found, that around the world, the pies people have reflect, you know, the availability. So there's no doubt there were game pies. There would have been pies made from kangaroo, possibly, but also, our sheep industry started pretty quickly, so our original pies were mainly mutton. But these days, beef is more plentiful, less expensive, in fact, and so most of the mince meat you find in our pies today are beef mince.
Paul, you've judged wine shows. Is there a difference in judging a pie?
Not much. It gets pretty tiring at the end of the day with both.
Do you spit them out?
Some pies you do spit out. We tended not to eat the whole pie unless, as we say in the book, that there are those pies that have that wolf factor where you can't help yourself and you do wolf them down. But no, we tended to, we judged each part of the pie to get the sum of its parts. And so it is a bit like wine judging, that we sort of gave mental points to the various parts of the pie. So it's very similar to wine judging, and certainly is, at the end of the day, it's pretty tiresome as well.
So what was it that you actually judged? What makes a good pie?
Well, we sort of split it up into the short crust bottom. A good pie has to have a short crust pastry bottom that holds the pie's filling. There's nothing worse than a pie that falls apart. And then there's the flaky pastry on top, and then, of course, the filling, and it's really how they are all in balance and their individual flavours that make the sum of the pie.
Do you use wine tasting terms like fragrance, body?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Before we set out, we sat down one weekend together and worked out a judging criteria system and how we would point the pies. That's not published in the book, of course. We've just sort of graded them on a 5-star, 4-star, or actually we've given them dog's eyes instead of stars. But so the best pies got 5 dog's eyes, and we didn't include the pies that were really inedible. There's no bad pies in the book. We only put the good ones in.
Tony, we just heard that there were categories and things that you went through. What were they? And criteria.
There's that overall effect that Paul referred to, the wolf factor, but there were things that you would grade people up. You could forgive a pie maker for having, you know, 1 or 2 small faults. I mean, people see it in total, with the balance of pastry and filling. Where a pie would excel would be where it has a nice layer, you know, several layers perhaps, you know, 3 or 4 layers of crispy flaky on the top, which gives you that crackly crunch as you bite into the pie. And the way that will then fall into the filling and the short crust will also become part of the mixture in the mouth. But individually, we would actually sample those 3 main components, top, bottom, middle, filling, separately to look at them for structure, the various taste features, you know, whether there was, you know, a saltiness about it, a meatiness, or a, you know, is one of the spices added, like nutmeg, a little bit too prominent or whatever it might be. So yeah, but and then we had a point system, and if you had a certain number of points, you'd fall into a 5 or a 4 or a 3 or a 2 or whatever.
I love the critical analysis of something like a pie.
Oh, it deserves it.
It certainly does. Tony, Paul, did you only examine meat pies, or did you decide to take a look at the gourmet range that's offered?
No, we didn't. We didn't get a look at the Nancy Boys pies. No, that would have been too big a task. Actually, that was the reality of it. We stuck straight to the traditional minced meat pie. Yeah.
What's wrong with a steak and kidney pie?
Nothing. If we did that, the book would be about 1,000 pages long, and we'd be still going, I think.
Go on.
Yeah, well, I just think there are just too many categories to do them all in one book. Maybe we could just do the steak and kidney pies one day.
So no fish pies, Tasmania scallop pies, nothing like that?
Well, we certainly ate them on the way, but we couldn't fit them all in the book, so we decided just to stick to the standard mince meat pie. Yeah.
Tony, the next book would be Gourmet Pies Across Australia.
It could be, Trevor. I think, Paul was just mentioning about the traditional mincemeat pie. We actually see that as a standard, even though, we looked at what other people were doing. And we might well go looking at gourmets, but it's a bit like a winemaker. The winemaking analogy could be used again. If you can make a good wine, you have a standard there somewhere. Now, most bakers will do a similar thing and have their good bakers will say, there's our leader product. It's a traditional mincemeat pie. A good example of this is in Pinjarra in Western Australia. They've got a blackboard that's about 2 kilometres long, which lists all the pies that they make. But the first one they mention is the traditional mincemeat pie, and they say quite openly, this is our standard, and we have we pride ourselves in making the good basic pie. And if you're not going to go in to make a good steak and kidney or a coriander and chicken, well, you could, but I think you're not going to be able to get to those levels, or you shouldn't, until you've been able to discipline yourself enough to make what most Australians do expect when they rock up to a pie shop, and that is to call in and ask for a plain pie and get something that's very enjoyable.
Tony,
a traditional type.
Did you notice a difference between states? Did some states have pies that were different to other ones?
Yes, I'll give you a couple of examples. Western Australia is, while all states can make a typical mincemeat pie, in Western Australia, one of their little things that's different is that you can come across bakers which make a pie which has various size granules. It could be finely minced meat in along with chunky bits of steak. In Queensland, if you ask for a meat pie, you're more likely to get a chunky one than a mincemeat style. They have to differentiate it. In New South Wales, there's a higher tolerance of darker fillings with more so-called flavour enhancers than you might find in Tasmania, where you just wouldn't find a dark filling in a pie. They just have a pure, paler-coloured minced meat pie that's unadulterated. And Victoria, they do a great job of just simply getting everything right from the pastry to the filling. And there's a certain style about a Victorian pie too. They rarely have a deep pie. Most of their pies are the shallow type. In New South Wales, you tend to find a deeper pie.
Why do you think that Victoria's getting it right?
Oh, they've been doing it longer, I suppose. They've had a long mining history, I guess, and pies and pasties were always part of their culture. They're also great sport fanatics, because pies are associated with football very, very strongly, as Paul mentioned earlier. I mean, one in five people who attends a match at the MCG or SCG will purchase a pie, and we're counting people who are, kids to older folks. So, pies are part of that culture, and Victoria has a strong football culture, and I guess that's the case. If you rock up to a country footy match, it'll be the local bakery providing the pies. They take a lot of pride in it.
Paul, as you travel, did you find it difficult to find small bakeries in country towns as you travelled around? Are they dying out?
That's a good question. In some areas they are, and it's really where the town itself is dying for other, rural economic reasons. But also one of the other things that are impacting on local bakeries and butcher shops, for instance, is the advent of these big supermarkets on shopping centres on the outskirts of towns, and it sort of it ruins the commercial streets of some of these smaller towns, and and the little baker and the butcher go out of business. But then again, in a lot of country towns, there are some fantastic bakeries that are going gangbusters. So it's not a general rule. I mean, you know, for instance, there are bakeries like the one in Griffith that's it's a huge shop in the main street, and it's packed every day with people buying all sorts of things. So good bakeries tend to survive, but it really depends a bit on the economies of the local towns.
Did you both gain weight?
well, he's the skinny one and I'm the fat one, but I actually weighed 8.5 stone in a ringing wet army coat before I started, and now I'm about 19 stone and I'm on a rabbit's food and water diet for the next 12 months.
Just before you go, firstly, Paul, what was your favourite pie and where?
That's a good question. I guess I'm a bit parochial, I'll go for a Victoria. My favourite pie locally is actually in the Barossa at the Apex Bakery in Tanunda.
Yep.
But the best one I found interstate was at Malden in Victoria.
And Tony, very quickly.
Rivette's in Swan Hill would be my favourite, and Cripps in Hobart's good.
Thank you to both of you. Good on you, thank you. Speaking with Tony and Paul Clancy about their trip around Australia in search of the perfect pie. That's Bush Telegraph for today. I'm Trevor Chappell. Thank you very much for joining us.